gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive to HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. Well, today we have Crystal Miller joining with us as a co-host with me. So, hi, Crystal.
Hello.
We are about to kick off our show with a smart, wonderful, beautiful HR lady. So stay tuned. She is none other than Kelly Long. Kelly, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm glad to hear your voice, Kelly, and glad to have you again on Drive Through HR. So welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. So, Kelly, you know the drill. So why don't you kick off the show by giving our audience a brief intro of who you are and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Kelly Long. I currently work at Rackspace, which is a managed cloud hosting company out of San Antonio, Texas. And I work in HR as the HR Chief of Staff. So I report directly to our head of HR and partner with him really closely on a number of different HR things, from our HR strategy to kind of how we execute our plan to what we're doing to getting in the nitty-gritty of, you know, kind of how we're going to deliver on our data and metrics and what the business needs from us. So really kind of pulling together all of the activity that goes on in our department throughout the year and making sure that we are meeting our deliverables and we're executing in a way that's really impactful and valuable to our business and to our Rackers.
Wonderful. Well, you know what, Kelly? I really, really love that name, Rackers, because most of all in companies, they represent their employees with an employee code or employee number, but this is really unique to have a name for your employees so that your brand is out there, right? The Rackers name is out there. So a big shout out to all the Rackers out there. So Kelly, what is keeping you up at night these days?
So we are obviously, you know, it's the beginning of the year. It's when everybody kind of is getting behind their rally cry for the year and figuring out what those initiatives are going to be. So we had our large HR kickoff last week where we started talking about what the different kind of deliverables are that we want to bring out to the business this year. So now we're in mode of, okay, who's going to do it and when are we going to do this by and how are we going to take it from here's our strategy and here's what we want to do into really actionable steps that we can go take and execute on. Because, you know, we can all sit in a room and talk about how great it is and what the ideas that we have that can make an impact, but then taking that and really making a difference to both your employees, our Rackers, as well as our business leaders, and giving them something that helps them guide their decisions and make sure that we're making the right decisions based on data, based on the right information, is really important for us.
Well, I mean, that sounds pretty much like what a lot of HR professionals are going through right now. So how do you handle taking that and then streamlining it into something that the employees will actually do? I guess what we're talking about is employee adoption. How do you get your employees to adopt your plan?
Right. So we at Rackspace, culture is a huge part of who we are as a company. So we've got an entire team dedicated to kind of culture engagement, and we have Rackers every day that really wake up dedicated to our culture. If you walk around our halls, you can see and feel kind of the life of this place as you walk through it. And so one of the things that we try to keep in mind is that you need to think about your process and think about the things you're going to do in the eye of the Racker. So I feel like a lot of HR departments sometimes, and really all departments, maybe sometimes try to make their process fit what's easiest for them personally, and we really try to adopt what's going to make it easiest for our Rackers, because that's where we're going to get our adoption. Because if it's too difficult or if it's too much of a change or there's, you know, too many different calls to action or things that they need to do, it's going to make it that much harder. And so we really try to keep our culture in mind and let the way that we know our culture works impact the way we set up our processes, impact where we put, you know, our Ask HR booths or how we have Rackers get a hold of us. Because if we know something works, then we should take advantage of that and keep using that instead of, you know, coming up with something that might make the process more streamlined for us but makes it more difficult for our customers to get what they need.
And that makes sense. And really, when you think about making employee plans and all of the things that we do, it drives to making life easier for the employees so that your end customer has a better experience and hopefully helps drive business revenue, right?
Yes. Yes, and so we try to take that a step further then, and really through our Racker Pulse survey, which is our twice a year employee engagement survey, we then measure our, you know, our Rackers engagement on an NPS scale, which is exactly how we measure our customers' engagement, so that we can tie correlations between highly engaged teams and highly performing teams based on customer impact. So that is one way that we really try to tell the story using data and metrics, and I'm really excited this year for us to start building that out even more, building out our HR analytics practice and, you know, trying out some new tools and testing some new things that will really, I think, help us provide to the business data that can help drive their decisions. We are really fortunate to work at a company where we have leaders that are pulling for HR versus us pushing it on them. And so we definitely want to make sure that we're delivering what they're asking for.
Well, let's talk about that for a second before we get to the data and analytics, which is super exciting and obviously we love chatting about. You said something that's really important. So your leadership is bought into HR. HR is not having to fight for the justification of the value of employees. Why do you think that is? Why are they bought into HR when so many other companies are struggling to get, I guess, the recognition that's due?
Yeah. So I think that part of that is, you know, due to the fact that culture has always been such an important piece of Rackspace. We were a startup company that started in 1999 with, you know, two employees, and we've grown from two employees in 1999 to about over 6,000 now. We just hit 2 weeks ago. So I think that the fact that culture has been a part of who this company is and core values have been a part of who this company is really helps make sure that we have leaders that are guided by those things, and HR has always been a part of that. So whether it's been through our culture practices or our engagement practices or Rackspace University, which is our training and development department, we have really smart leaders that understand that engaged employees who feel good about the work they're doing are going to, you know, deliver to our customers. And since we're really a customer-centric company, right, Fanatical Support is Fanatical Support is who we are as a company. And so we need to make sure that we have, you know, employees who are not so worried about their compensation that they can, you know, have a good conversation with a customer and deliver to them what they need. So I think that it is really smart leadership from the get-go. Our co-founder and the chairman of our board, Graham Weston, he has a phrase that he likes to say that we come back to every year. We just came back to it, which is what everyone wants is to be a valued member of a winning team on an inspiring mission. And that really has been the kind of core focus of our company for several years now, and I think that that's what helps really leverage those relationships.
One second. You said something that was really awesome and totally bears repeating. Can you say that sentence again? What everyone wants is what?
Yes. So the phrase is, what everyone wants is to be a valued member of a winning team on an inspiring mission. And so that I'm sorry?
Go ahead. No, I was like, every HR professional should have that emblazoned on their desk.
Yeah, it's a great phrase. I mean, we have it hung on banners all across here. We actually, you know, for our HR department, we actually went through the exercise where we said, okay, how do we make sure our HR wrappers are engaged? And how do we tie it back to making sure that they're inspired by our mission and that they're feeling valuable? Are they getting feedback? Are they getting coaching? Are they getting one-on-ones? Do they feel like they're being recognized, you know, for the work that they're doing? Those are the things that are going to make employees feel like they're valued members. And then the winning team, that really goes back to how does a department, how does a company know that they're winning? And so, you know, we've started internal HR to develop our own kind of HR scorecard of how do we know that we're winning as an HR department? And then beyond that, how do we tell and talk to employees about how we're winning as a company?
That is a great info right there. And Rackspace is always known for your great work culture, and that's the reason you are named as 100 best place to work in the Fortune magazine list. And I guess this is the sixth time you guys have named to be the 100 best place to work for the last 7 years. But maintaining a winning workplace gets harder as the company gets bigger and expands globally, right? So how do you actually maintain that or to have a sustainable company culture?
Sure. So it does get harder. It gets a lot harder, actually. And, you know, that's been part of our growing pains as a company, too, is really trying to you know, grow up a little. We were a startup company, and, you know, now we're a 6,000 employee company. There's growing pains that are involved in that naturally. So one of the things that's really helped is that our CEO, so our current CEO and president, Taylor Rose, really believes in the fact that employee engagement is a team sport. So this is not just, you know, we have a culture and engagement team that sits in the corner of HR, and they're the ones that are responsible for culture, and they're the ones that have to go do all of this stuff. That's not what it is. Every Racker, every leader has an opportunity to own their engagement and own their team's engagement at Rackspace. So you participate in this process every day. It's not something that happens to you or that you take as it comes at you. It's something that you get up and you participate in. It's, you know, making sure that, at least at Rackspace, that you hang your Buffalo Bills flag above your desk, which I have because I am a Buffalo Bills fan, just saying. That you hang that above your desk, that's part of our culture, is we have flags all over the place. And it's that you go and you do fun team outings. You find ways to engage your teams in doing things that, you know, maybe they wouldn't ordinarily do, to think out of the box. And we have a great team set up so that we have the facility to really structure that creativity and that engagement too. So, you know, it's a little cliche at this point, right, to say, you know, we've got the slide and we have our coffee shop downstairs, but it's things like our real estate team organizes every Tuesday and Friday for at least 10 different food trucks to come line up outside of Rackspace so that, you know, Rackers don't have to go off-site to try to find something. They've got great variety that's right outside the front door. And so it's really just finding ways to keep Rackspace special and not let go of that, and recognizing that every employee plays a part of that.
Well, if we can talk a little more about that facilities and the structure that helps employees socialize within the workplace itself, that would be great. Because outside people, the people outside of Rackspace, they might not be aware about it, and it would be great that you can cover that too.
Cover how we talk about our culture externally?
No. How do you provide a socialization facility within the workplace itself?
Yeah, so we are actually really, so there's a number, I guess, a few different ways that we could touch on. We are a very active community-based organization, so we've got an entire, it's called Rack Gives Back, and it's our volunteer organization where Rackers are given a significant amount of volunteer time, and we organize different events that they can go participate in and talk to. We have Rackers that are teamed up on various boards across the San Antonio locations, as well as all of our remote and satellite locations. So, you know, the fact that we've got, gosh, almost 15, I think, different offices also adds a unique element to some of the culture difficulties, and how do you balance that across all of those sites. And we also have a really strong, what we call, culture instigator network. So we have Rackers that are known to really understand what culture is at Rackspace, and we lean on them to go talk about it externally as well as champion it internally. So, you know, we have culture digs that they participate in and different events that they help drive both internally and externally. Does that help answer the question? I'm not sure. Maybe I didn't understand it correctly.
No, it absolutely does. And I love the idea of culture instigators. So how do you activate that? Because it sounds sort of like brand fans or employee advocacy programs, which is great. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But we often, when we talk about employee advocacy programs, we're thinking about the external, right? So love that you're focused internally. How do you activate that? When do people get involved? Talk to us about that. That's cool.
So culture instigators started back in about 2010, I think. And this was after, you know, we had really started growing to about 4,000 Rackers, and we started getting feedback that Rackers felt like our culture was changing and that, you know, maybe we had lost our way a little bit. And so we started really digging into where this was coming from and where we thought, you know, it was really happening. And what we ended up doing was bringing in an external consultant to help us, and we started conducting these culture digs, where we went around and we met with Rackers at all different levels, all of our locations, to really understand where some of those pain points were coming from. From that, we identified what are known now as our culture instigators, and this group has really grown and evolved, but really these are Rackers that are more recommended by other Rackers than anything else. So they are the leaders that are known to lead really engaged teams by doing super crazy things. So one of our culture instigators, I'll give you an example. If you all remember when Party Rock was like the real hip hop song. And we had a manager who his entire team, they would take time after hours. They learned the dance. They recreated the entire video, made a video of it, put it on YouTube. And then they went a couple weeks later and they dressed up in the same thing and they went to a local high school to talk about Rackspace and to talk about technology and engineering, and they also did the dance for that high school while they were there. And so it's managers that find a way to be really relevant and engaging with their team, and at the same time, something that they can do together and something that's useful out in our community, especially, you know, with some of the challenges that we face from a TA perspective around some of the tech talent that we need here to kind of keep business running.
That's awesome. And by the way, anybody who wants to see that video, it is up on the Twitters. You can find it on hashtag DriveThroughHR. Let's do a quick reset for anybody that's joining in now. Kelly Long is with us from Rackspace. We're talking about all kinds of things like employee adoption of HR strategy and employee advocacy and robust toxic data and analytics because it's sexy and we love that stuff. So glad you're with us, and let's kind of segue into that. Kelly, so you said you're doing some data stuff. What are you doing?
So we have, let's see, over this, so in 2014, we really started to put a bigger focus on our HR data and analytics. And some of that was really coming from what we as an HR organization wanted to start pulling out and taking a look at. And some of it was around what the business was really asking us for. So we have leaders in place who really want to make sure that they're making data-driven decisions. And there is a little bit of cleaning up that, honestly, we need to do sometimes. You know, when you have multiple different HR systems and HR tools and you have finance hierarchy that speaks a different language than, you know, HR hierarchy, all of that fun stuff. So we really spent some time cleaning that up last year. We've invested heavily now in our data and analytics team. So I'll give a call out. Robert Lanning is the leader of our data and analytics team, and he calls the team Team Dapifer. So we have a team of 6 Dapifers now who really do everything from compensation analysis for us, all the way to how we look at our LMS and how Rackers are being trained, to how our onboarding works and how Racker Pulse works, which is our engagement survey. And what we really want to do this year is start tying all of those pieces together a little bit more. So how can we look at an employee life cycle from the time that they onboard at Rackspace to the time that they get their first performance review? They might go through 360s, they go through Racker Pulse, all the way to when they exit, so that we can perhaps start pulling out themes that we might be seeing. And then there's also a lot of data and analytics that our organization is looking for too. So we've started really from a scorecard perspective, building out a dashboard for all of our business unit leaders that starts with really performance summaries. So it goes through all of our performance reviews and our talent calibrations, and it marks up, okay, let's take, you know, Rackers that are successful and that are rated in the, you know, in the middle box of our 9 box. Sorry if I'm getting too HR speak, but they're in the middle box of our 9 block. And how does that match up against engagement for us? And what does that look like against their compensation, so that we can start to see where some of those things might come from? And actually, what we've been able to tie so far is that our highest engaged employees are getting our highest, you know, performance reviews, are getting rated the highest as, you know, potential and behavior and impact. And our most disengaged employees, that's coming from people who are maybe being performance managed a little bit more heavily. And so that's been good insight for us. And it's also been good calibration from business unit to business unit to see, okay, we've got 60% of Rackers in this organization were given a successful, but 80% in this organization were given successful. Where's the discrepancy coming from? How can we make sure that we've got really consistent and objective methods of evaluation so that we can make sure that the entire company is on the same level? And, you know, we do that by really taking our data and analytics and matching it up against that.
So part of me wants to ask, is it really a surprise that your highest rated employees are the ones that are performing the best? Like, you would think that would be normal, right?
Yes, and it is, and it is.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it absolutely is, but, you know, there are times when, you know, you see, okay, in this survey or this, we feel like engagement significantly dropped. And so there is a immediate, I think, reaction to, oh, no, we should do something about this. We have to react to this. And so it's taking time to make sure we step back and process and we ask the right questions and we cut the data the right way and we slice and dice, which we spend hours and hours doing. We stay locked in a room for about 3 weeks at a time, just kind of going through everything and saying, well, what if we look at it this way? And, you know, how do employees fill it out based on what day they take the survey and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And so it is not surprising, but I think there's a tendency to react immediately once you see, you know, kind of initial feedback. And so it's taking a step back to really understand where it's coming from. That helps us with that one.
And that makes sense. I think you're right. It's a total knee-jerk reaction of, oh, my gosh, something negative happened. But the truth is you can cut data 15 different ways and get it to say almost anything you want it to. There was a Disrupt Cleveland thing. I was looking at that. There was some presentation there that was talking about statistics and data that, you know, basically you can turn it into whatever you want. So how do you keep on point with that? I mean, because you don't want to get off purpose of whatever survey you've sent out, right? So if you're sending out a survey on engagement or culture or whatever, you know, you want to stay on topic, but it is so easy to take that data and turn it into maybe something that you didn't mean to. So I guess what I'm asking is how do you read your data? How do you make sure that you're staying on point?
Yeah. So we have this board in our HR area where every time Robert comes over to me to kind of discuss something else and I go, what if we did this or what if we looked at it this way? That's where he makes me put all of that stuff up on the board so that he forces me to stay on topic. But he also has a very strong team that's able to pull out those kind of light bulb ideas that pop off in all of our heads. He's able to pull out, okay, this is something that would be a valuable kind of input into the analysis that we're doing right now, and this is more of a big picture, it's going to take some work, is important, but not the most urgent thing. And so it's really making sure that we stay focused on what the priority is, because it is so easy to rabbit hole all the way down in that. You know, you keep digging in and you keep asking those what-if questions, and you can get lost in it. So I think it's going back to really, what are we trying to accomplish, and staying focused on that.
Well, while you were talking about data, and then previously in the beginning of the show, we talked about the culture. I'm curious, is there any metrics or measurement that you guys particularly use at Rackspace to measure the culture of your organization?
Yeah, so we our Racker Pulse survey, we have about 20 questions, but the first two, which are really our measure of engagement, are based on an NPS scoring methodology. So for anyone that's not familiar with that, NPS is Net Promoter Score, and that is what we use to survey our customers. Rackspace as a company surveys their customers on a 0 to 10 scale of if they would recommend Rackspace to another company. So the NPS methodology is really based on recommendations, and the scores break down as promoters, detractors, and passives. And so what we did is we adopted that methodology and have applied it to our Racker engagement survey. So Rackers are asked ENPS questions, so employee NPS questions, around if they would recommend Rackspace as a place to work and if they would recommend their manager as a person to work for. And we score it the same way as, you know, NPS scores are calculated. It's a percentage where percentage of detractors is taken away from percentage of promoters and passives are taken away. And we use that, and it makes it really easy for us, too, to bump it up against our customer performance as well. And so, you know, it's something that we started, I think, around 2011, but it's something that is so part of the way that our employees speak that it makes it really easy for them to understand where we are from an engagement perspective without complicating it with things that, you know, we need to explain or, you know, really spend time making sure they understand. It's something that they immediately get and understand, which is, I think, why it's able to be as impactful as it is.
No, that definitely makes sense to me. I'm sure it does to everyone else as well. We've got about 6 minutes left. I want to talk just a little bit about favorite tools. So what tools are you using right now to help you in your projects, but specifically around data analytics, if that works for you? But if not, what your favorite tool today is?
So we are, and I've only kind of dipped my toes in it a little bit, but we're implementing it this year, and I'm super excited. So I'll talk about two of them. One of them is a tool called Macro Micro, and it's a workforce analytics visualization tool. So we're in the process of implementing that right now, and I'm really excited to work with the team on that. So this will really kind of take all of our information and find trends and find ways for us to tell the story in a really compelling way. And the other one that I really love, and I'm always a promoter of this company, is actually Qualtrics. So Qualtrics, we started using their 360 tool, I did, in about 2012 to do 360s, and they are still top-rated, in my opinion. I am talking with them, you know, on a weekly basis around, you know, the different 360 development options that they have, as well as potentially, you know, expanding what they deliver with us. So they have been a phenomenal company to work with. I think that we made the decision to bring our 360 process in-house because we needed something that could provide us with some flexibility. Again, this goes back to making sure the process fits the culture, not fits what's easiest. So we needed a tool that could really provide us with flexibility around due dates and who approves raters and how all of that, you know, nitty-gritty 360 stuff works. And 360, Qualtrics has really, really delivered that to us and have done it with a huge smile on their face. And, you know, I love that I call them up and I know who my support person is and they know exactly how to help me, and they send me great little videos when I don't understand something to walk through exactly what I need to do, and they're personalized. It's a great experience working with them.
That's awesome, and thank you so much for sharing that. So you said Macro Micro?
Yes.
And then what was the name of the other tool?
It's called Qualtrics 360. So traditionally the Qualtrics survey tool is something that like you would see universities use, but they developed a 360 tool a few years back that's been really phenomenal.
Really, really cool. Okay, so 3 minutes left. Last question. Where can people find you? Where will you be next? I heard you might be at TalentNet, South by Southwest, powered by Dice. Is that true?
Yes. Well, I would like
Yay.
To be. Yes. Yeah, well, you know, I have three young ones at home, so sometimes the schedule is a little bit difficult to juggle, but I would definitely like to be up at TalentNet Live, and I also hope to be at HR Tech in October, and then kind of take it from there. So I think I've kind of stepped away a little bit for a few years, but I'm really ready to get engaged with the awesome HR community that y'all are a part of.
Well, that's fantastic. So how can the community engage with you? Where can they find you? Online, on the Twitters, on LinkedIn? Where do you
hang out? I hang out usually on Facebook and Twitter. Those are my two biggest right now. They're just the easiest ones for me, I think. And so that's where I like to hang out. That's where you can find me. Mm-hmm.
So just Kelly Long?
Yes, Kelly _ Long on Twitter, and then just Kelly Long on Facebook.
All right, folks, do yourself a favor. Connect with her. She's super smart and probably one of the sweetest people in HR. Thank you so much for joining us today. I feel like the half hour just flew by.
It was great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. All right, any last parting words that you want to share with people?
No, I think just, I
That's
don't her? Actually. I really love HR, like, and I know how nerdy that sounds, but I really love it. And so I would just, you know, encourage everyone that practices in our field to just consistently keep the customer and the racker or the employee top of mind, because that is what fills my heart every day, is just knowing that, like, you're making a true impact. And so just keeping that up.
Gosh, I love that. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my God, that was so
cheesy
and nerdy, wasn't it?
Well, no, it's perfect. I wish more people felt that way. We'd have less of an angry HR lady reputation rolling around in HR. But at any rate, thank you for joining us. If you are listening, join us tomorrow. We're in Cole Fox. We'll be on talking about using hacking and hackathons to find new talent. Thank you very much, guys. Everybody have a fabulous day.